Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The future of America's cities has a lot to do with the future of transportation and with what some people call a mobility revolution, which is changing the way we live, work, and play in our cities. Think about it. From the days when parkways and interstates whisked people in their cars out of cities, the trend today is a move into cities.
And that's being encouraged in a big way by new subway and bus lines, shared bikes and cars, and new technologies such as self-parking vehicles, all designed to ease congestion and create more room for pedestrians.
So these ideas are at the heart of a global competition on the future of mobility sponsored by the German automaker Audi. The company has chosen four teams from four cities around the world that are competing for a 100,000 euro prize. The teams are made up of architects, urban planners, and transportation experts from Berlin, Seoul, Mexico City, and Boston.
And we're going to spend some time now talking with a member of the Boston team who's focusing on a part of Greater Boston that's about to undergo a massive redesign, Union Square in Somerville. He says this part of the city offers a huge opportunity to reimagine an urban center with fewer cars and that's less congested and more pedestrian friendly. So Anthony headed over to Somerville to find out more.
So I'm here in Union Square in Somerville, and with me is Philip Parsons. He's part of the Boston team that is competing in this year's Audi Urban Future Initiative, looking at the future of cities and mobility. And Philip, tell me why we're here in Union Square, why you see this part of the city as ripe for what you call a mobility revolution.
It's really a hub of activity here. There's so much changing so rapidly here. I think most excitingly for a lot of people here is the Green Line coming to Union Square. Along with that, an amazing amount of redevelopment, which is going to transform Union Square forever. What I think people haven't really taken into account is this really is a mobility revolution we're in the middle of. And it's not just about the Green Line. Right behind you, those hubway bikes.
That's the, of course, Boston's very successful bike share program you're referring to.
And all those bikes are gone. Somebody's taken all of them somewhere else. We are going to have more and more car sharing here. There's a Zipcar stop station right behind us over there. We have people walking here, biking here, taking the train. There's a huge amount of change going to be happening in the way we use our cars in the future. Millennial generation, fewer and fewer of them are getting driving licenses now. People don't want to use cars. They don't want to own cars. There's a real trend in that direction. And so there's a lot more walking. There's a lot more biking. It's a very different world we're entering.
So you foresee an opportunity in this part of the city to reimagine this part of the city where the car isn't as dominant.
I think it's true that up to 45% of some cities is devoted to cars, either car storage and parking and so forth, or on the road. We've really given away our cities to cars. It's because there's so much rapid change here, I think we can really look at how we can use this mobility revolution to advantage and not let this rapid growth lead to congestion, gridlock, and a more and more unfriendly city for pedestrians.
If this is done right, this sort of reimagining of Union Square, say in 15 or 20 years, what do you imagine? What's it going to look like?
I think what we'll see is a lot more space for people, for public space, a lot more pedestrian activity. There'll be better bus routes, better bike routes. There'll be car sharing stations.
So what's the key to making all of this possible?
What seemed to me possible was if we had a comprehensive database of car use, public transit use, and so forth, we could create what we called a multimodal mobility marketplace. We actually call this 4M because it's so hard to say. This would be a data platform that would encourage entrepreneurship, new ideas in transportation, where we could have a much better sense of where we needed to invest in infrastructure because we would know how mobility was being used and we could also regulate it. Right now, there are a lot of experiments around the world in pricing of road use, the most ambitious probably in Singapore, but we see them also in many European cities and increasingly in American cities. This is very effective in controlling congestion in the city. And we see this in London too, where the congestion pricing has had a huge effect on reducing congestion and reducing emissions, improving air quality in central London.
Let me just ask you finally this, because you mentioned Singapore and London, and what you're really describing is a sort of vision where a kind of move away from a world where the automobile is king. And the cynic in me says, America has always had this love affair with the car. Can we really give it up?
I personally am not an advocate for or against the car. I think we're just looking at trends as they emerge. And so this proposal we're making is really creating the machinery that we need to respond to the future as it emerges rather than to regulate the future. People have tried to anticipate the future in the past. You see these amazing pictures from the 50s of flying cars and so forth. I think those kind of predictions are rash and typically wrong. But we do need to be able to control the future in a way that makes sure that cities work better for people rather than worse for people. And that seems like an ambition worth having.
And we're back live in the Radio Boston studio with Philip Parsons. He's an expert in comprehensive planning and urban design, and he's part of the Boston team competing with teams from Berlin, Seoul, and Mexico City for the Audi Urban Future Award, looking at the future of transportation in cities. His proposal is to create a digital marketplace for urban mobility. And Philip, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
You're glad to be here.
And listeners, as you heard, his team is focusing on Union Square in Somerville, which is about to undergo a huge transformation and redesign, led largely by the introduction of the Green Line. And to help us talk about that, we're joined by the mayor of Somerville, Joseph Curtatone. And welcome back to the program, Mr. Mayor. Good to have
you. Great to be here, Anthony. Thank
and
you.
Listeners, I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. What's your vision for the future of transportation in cities, whether it's Union Square in Somerville or some other part of the city where you live? How do you create city centers that are less congested, more pedestrian friendly? Are you excited by shared bikes and cars, better public transportation? Can you imagine cities where cars have a less dominant role? And what do you make of Philip Parsons' call for a multimodal mobility marketplace? We'll talk about what that means. But give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Philip, before I get to you, Mr. Mayor, I want to just get Philip to expand a little bit about some of what we were talking about a moment ago in Union Square. So let me ask you to expand on this idea of creating a digital marketplace for urban mobility. What does that mean in terms that people can understand? Give us a concrete example.
Well, I think just in the last couple of weeks, when you go off the Tobin Bridge, you don't actually need to have one of those transponders. Your license plate can be photographed, and you get a bill in the mail, as I understand. And so that's the beginning of it. The other thing that I think people notice is when they get lost, get stopped in traffic, they look up on their smartphone and they see those little dotted red lines and
right.
They find there's all this congestion going on. So there's a huge amount of data already about how vehicles are used. But it's not systematized. If this data was collected comprehensively, fully anonymized and could be used by developers, I think we'd have a huge leap in inventive solutions to mobility. Plus, cities would be able to, or states, and even the federal government, I guess, eventually, would be able to target their investments in infrastructure. Hmm. So we are in the age of big data. Of course, there are huge concerns about privacy here, and
but before we get to that, just to stick to this idea of how useful big data is, we're seeing this already. For example, there's a new public bus service being piloted called Bridge, which seeks to design bus routes according to where people actually are in the moment. This is the kind of example.
Bridge is a terrific example mm-hmm. of what data can do in terms of providing services people actually need.
Yeah.
And we're imagining a more comprehensive data service that would really facilitate if you wanted to start a rickshaw or a bus service or whatever
the data would
be public or private.
Right, the data would help.
Exactly.
So when you look at a part of the city like Union Square, and you've got the mayor of Somerville sitting right here, what do you hope that city planners will be taking into account as they redesign Union Square to make this dream a possibility, a reality?
An awful lot of the planning historically in cities revolves around providing parking. And if you look at the parking requirement for buildings, and a lot of Somerville is still this way, 45% of the square footage is devoted to your car. Imagine if that went true, if the cars could be parked remotely because they were self-parking. They could take up a lot less space because they'd be parking much more efficiently. It would give us so much more flexibility in what we would build, a bigger range of possible housing solutions, bigger range of possibilities for businesses. And so you'd really be working to preserve the kind of diversity that people love about Somerville and about Union Square.
So, Mr. Mayor, Mayor Curtatone, I'd love to get your response to some of these ideas. To what extent do you see this mobility revolution helping guide the redesign of a part of the city like Union Square?
Well, thank you, Anthony. I think the Audi Urban Future Program and the team led by Phil Parsons is really exciting and fascinating work. And it will help guide and go hand in hand with the planning of our city. We see a future of our city as being a city for people. Mm-hmm. And if we want to build a city and community for people, then we have to plan for that future. And if we think about what's happening in the country and the world, we're seeing in the United States the greatest demographic shift since mid-century, where baby boomers, millennials, the hipsters, as you want to say, they're all moving to the urban centers. In fact, more than 50% of the world's population lives in urban centers today. By 2030, that'll be at 6%, more than 60%, and by 2050, more than 70%. And we need to think about how we service those populations, people who are moving to more walkable, bikeable communities, where that'll improve quality of life, create economic opportunity. Some of us has seen that, understands that, and we have planned by 2030 to shift mobility trips to have a 50% mobility trips away from automobile to more biking, walking, and public transportation, which is why we've advocated for years for the Green Line extension, for the Orange Line stop, to increase our bike and walk score, which we are now top 10 in the country in both, because we know the impact, the positive impacts on our quality of life and our economic opportunity. So I see the work being done by Phil and his team, and the example of Union Square and the future planning of that, really intertwining and aligning the urban planning efforts along with transportation planning tightly.
Let me ask you both about this. I mean, it's an exciting time for folks in this part of the city, but there's also concern, there's fear of the unknown about the potential instability for some people. I mean, like much of Somerville is Union Square is wonderfully diverse. It's kind of a mix of hipsters, newly arrived immigrants, older residents. They're all there together. But as a neighborhood develops, Mr. Mayor, as the Green Line comes in, how do you preserve that vitality and that diversity?
That's a really important question. And if anyone has looked at the Summer Vision Plan in Somerville, which is really a national model, we're asking ourselves those questions. And the difference today from what the decisions were in mid-century when we abandoned the rail and trolley systems, and Somerville had just short of 20 then, and brought in Interstate 93, expanded 28, cut neighborhoods off from one another and people off from one another, and access to good and wholesome food choices, and curtailed our economic opportunities. The difference today is we have a shared set of hopes and dreams, and that's not only to shift the mobility to more biking, walking, and public transportation, but also to create housing, 6,000 additional units of housing, which will increase to 9,000 or 10,000, of which a significant portion will be permanently affordable. We understand that what is part of our DNA is our diversity, our multicultural strength, our uniqueness, originality, creativity, innovation. That has been set forth, and for example, in the Union Square RFQ, the request for qualifications, as we selected a national development partner. We want rising tides to raise all boats. But what you can't do, Anthony, what cannot happen is to depress that opportunity, because we know, in this example, improving the transportation access, the mobility, the intermobility of any neighborhood or community benefits all. It connects people to job opportunities, to housing, to health care. It improves our quality of life and our public health.
And Philip, I want to sort of come to you with the same question. How does your view of using, big data and this mobility revolution help to address this concern about preserving the kind of vitality that is so apparent in a neighborhood like Union Square?
Somebody told me there are 57 languages spoken in the Somerville public schools. It's an amazingly diverse community. And when we talk about the demographic of the 24 to 34-year-olds moving to summer, we've got to remember there are children and there are the elderly also in Somerville, and a mobility revolution can do a lot for them. So if you can provide the kinds of services that I think will emerge in the next 25 years for all the whole spectrum of people in the community, not just for the young who are moving in, but the whole range, I think we will have done something remarkable. If we can use our land a lot more effectively, it gives us opportunity to increase the amount of housing and consequently the amount of affordable housing. It gives us the opportunity to design environments where small businesses can flourish along with larger, more established businesses. And we've developed some ideas around that we'll be showing and sharing on Saturday.
So you mentioned on Saturday, this is at a workshop in Somerville, correct?
But we're doing a community workshop in the Armory on Highland Avenue on Saturday, where we're going to talk through with the community and with experts some of these issues to try and generate more interest and more ideas, really, about how this kind of thing will evolve.
Well, speaking of interest and ideas, we've got a bunch of listeners on the lines with some questions, and we want to hear from you, listeners, about what your vision for the future of transportation and cities, whether it's Union Square in Somerville or some part of the city where you live. We're at 800-423-8255. So let's go to a couple of calls right now. Ryan is calling from Somerville. Hi, Ryan. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. So my comment is about, you know, another part of Somerville that's also a pretty high-profile development, and that's Assembly Row or Assembly Square. So I actually live in the Winter Hill neighborhood in Somerville, and what I've noticed is this whole development has popped up in Assembly, but it's no easier to get across the highway of 93 to get to that area. In fact, it's probably the least pedestrian-friendly area of Somerville, just because of the cross of 28 and 93 right there. And, you know, but on the flip side, I've seen so much more activity down there since all these new stores and restaurants have opened up. But I'm just kind of seeing more and more just pedestrians kind of, like running across the highway, you know, to get to this area. And for me, it's totally unsafe and it's a little bit frustrating. And I'm wondering, what is the long-term strategy for Assembly and for connecting Somerville with the other side of, you know, the highway over there?
Ryan, I'm glad you put it on the table, and we'll ask the mayor that question. And Mr. Mayor, just for listeners who don't know, I mean, Assembly Row, it's sort of extraordinary what's happened there. You've kind of created a neighborhood where none existed, and there are stores and restaurants and movie theaters, and it's all new. But address Ryan's concern about a plan to make it more pedestrian-friendly.
Well, thanks, Ryan, for the question, and it's an important one, and we know this problem, recognized it years ago, and your frustration rises from poor policy and planning over the decades where all this transportation infrastructure came into communities like Somerville, whether it be I-93 or expanded Route 28 or the various commuter rail lines, and nothing stopped or helped or penetrated or serviced these areas. And Assembly was one of them. So what we've done in this particular project, initially, one, we brought in the Orange Line station, which is critical. We developed a street network within the site. We actually improved the connections and connectivity to East Somerville. We're not complete yet. Certainly on Lombardi Way at the east end of Broadway as you get to Sullivan, we've addressed those entry points to make them more pedestrian and bicycle friendly. And I will point to you, Ryan, maybe you haven't been down there yet, you can now walk on the boardwalk that connects the shores on the Mystic River from Ten Hills in Somerville into Baxter Park at Assembly. You no longer have to cross the six-lane secondary arterial and taking your life into your own hands. That was critical. So now that creates connectivity around the entire Mystic Fells Reservation. But you're right. We're not done. We've preliminary addressed and looked at a design is how we have better access under 93 from East Somerville and other parts of the city. So Assembly is evolving. We have a transportation demand management committee. We're looking not only the flow within the site, but how do we continue better connectivity outside. But that is a good example of how we've been able to overcome bad policy and planning around the interstate highway and the secondary arterial Route 28 and still create the project we have there. But we will admit we have a long way to go.
Let's go to William, who's calling from Salem, New Hampshire. Hi, William. You're on the air.
Thank you. So my comment is this, and I kind of wanted to put this on the table. You know, I'm a big data architect, doing it for a few years, and one of the things I noticed is that I don't think that we're gonna solve the issue of the commute in and out of the city. We fell in love with suburbanization from the 1940s to the 1970s, and we've created that problem. The inner city is going to work out fine, I believe, but the major issue is the commute in and out. And, you know, being in the tech industry for the past 14 or 15 years, you know, it's not an automatic that I walk into a job interview and the remote option is there, but it's okay for a private sector company to offshore some team and save, you know, $30 or $40 an hour per developer. So what I'm saying is I think, you know, if you go on the road on a Sunday morning, maybe it's a pipe dream, but maybe that's what it'll look like someday when the private sector gets on board and lets people do more remote, from recruiters to high-tech workers.
Yeah. William, it's an intriguing idea, the traffic on Sunday. Imagine that all the time. What do you think, Philip?
Well, I think that, working remotely is certainly one option. What we see on the 101 in San Francisco is the Google buses riding out, and they're quite controversial, but riding in the HOV lane. Apparently, they only account for about 13 or 15% of the Google employees, but it's a trend, and there were none 10 years ago. And so there are a lot of ways to move people on their commutes that can be more creative. But again, and with people like the founder of Bridge getting the data they need, the chances of getting really good alternatives to reduce congestion on 93 South in the commuting time, for example, I think we need to encourage that kind of investment by good data. And that's really what 4M's about.
Mr. Mayor, I want to give you sort of final 10 seconds to sort of wrap up this conversation about the idea of this mobility revolution using big data to make places like Somerville more pedestrian friendly.
Well, thank you, Anthony. And just to add to what Phyllis said, the more we can invest in innovation around mobility and transportation planning and then make the investments to those innovations, the greater improvement we'll make to the quality of life in our communities, the greater potential we have for economic opportunity. If the greater Boston region, which extends out to 495, and the Commonwealth want to remain competitive in the 21st century global economy, will undertake such innovations.
All right. That's Joseph Curtatone. He's the mayor of Somerville. Mr. Mayor, as always, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
And Philip Parsons, he's an urban designer and planner, winner of the Audi Urban Future Award for his proposal to create a digital marketplace for urban mobility. You can check out more information, including information about a workshop that he'll be running on Saturday at the Armory in Somerville. Philip Parsons, thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.